Segura show.
Hey guys, welcome to The Soft Spot. I'm Meg Malloy.
And I'm Julie McCullough still.
He still is, yes.
And I'm nervous.
I'm nervous too.
You guys aren't going to believe what happened today.
I have the worst stress sweats right now.
You have pit stains.
Good
you have pit stains
sweats.
In your dress.
I do. Oh my God.
Our guest today is Lisa Loeb. And we are recording this part right after she left.
Magical angel Ooh, creature.
I mean,
just so pleasant, so talented, so wonderful. And so gentle and kind that there's no reason for me to be sweating the way that I am.
I know.
But here I am.
Yeah, she's so not like, I'm a big deal. But we were like, nice try, Lisa.
She was chill. I had a no chill. I had negative chill.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I was not prepared to feel nervous at all. I thought it was going to be like, it's fine, whatever. But then as soon as she walked in, I was like, I don't know how to talk anymore.
I know.
It's bizarre because she doesn't strike me as like someone that is a personality that would be intimidating or anything like that, and she's not. But
she's
just like
just so talented.
When you meet someone who has created something that is so part of culture,
yeah.
The way Stay is, it's kind of unreal
to see her like just casually hanging out in this recording studio, knowing that she has like. Created one of the biggest songs
yeah, literally,
ever in the world.
At least of the 90s,
yeah.
But also, like, you know.
I mean, and like we touched on a little bit in the interview, the look.
Yeah.
The Lisa Loeb look. She was, like, it.
Mm-hmm.
So major. So I am sorry that I am sweating so much. But you're listening to this, so my pit stains are not your problem.
Yeah, you can't smell the studio right now if you're listening at home. Again, welcome to The Soft Spot. We
can't even talk.
I know.
Sorry.
It's okay. Sorry. We're like boring you guys now with but you should have been there.
You should have been there. But you will be there.
We have had a good week. We went to Vegas last weekend and didn't even talk about it.
We didn't. No, I know. I don't know how that happened. I think it's because we were still in pretty major recovery
next
time we recorded, and we didn't feel ready to talk about it.
The hangover does not stay in Vegas, that's for sure.
No.
And I was worse than you. But
for sure, it doesn't when you take a 6 a.m. flight back and you're back on parent duty. Pretty much immediately.
I was thinking it must be so funny to be a flight attendant on Vegas trips because you get to see like the
people coming in are like, yeah, woo, whatever, we're gonna party. And
yeah.
The people leaving are like,
they're like missing the jewelry they went there with.
I don't know where the deed to my house is. Mm-hmm. I made some bad decisions. I have the worst hangover of my life.
But we had fun, and I was there performing at the Comedy Cellar.
Comedy
who has it? They have a new
Vegas.
Room at the Rio. And Meg, you are a pro at Las Vegas, and I am an amateur.
Do know Las Vegas?
So, what is your history with Las Vegas? Like, explain to the people why you go there so much or went there so much.
I've been there a lot of times with my dad.
You know, as you do.
You know, when you like blackjack and your dad likes blackjack and your dad's just like down to randomly go there. So one of my old gambling buddies, my father.
Mm-hmm. So he would fly you guys?
Sometimes, yeah, we would just go. Like, I remember the last time we all went together, he was like, do you have anything going on this weekend? And I had just graduated from college, and it was 2008. Obviously, I didn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, see if you can find a reasonable flight. And we booked it, and we're driving to the airport within an hour.
Oh, my God. Fun
yeah.
Dad.
Yeah, fun dad.
Wow.
But I've been many times with my friends, and I don't know. Everybody's like, ew, it's so, like, trashy and whatever. And I'm like, bitch, I love it. I lean into it so hard. I serve up some looks. I dress for the occasion.
My dad... His, like, what are you doing this weekend? I'd be like, nothing. He'd be like, want to smoke weed and listen to Fairport Convention? Which is not, that's not Vegas.
No. My dad's like, you want to eat lobster thermidor at the Voodoo Lounge in the Rio? I'm like, yeah, sure.
None of those words would come out of my dad's mouth in his entire life. That's so funny. So your dad parties, which is great.
Yeah.
You know?
It's good.
And I had so much fun. What did I say as soon as we got there?
He was like, we could live here. We could.
That's how, I'm like the guy that thinks the stripper likes him. Like, yeah. That's how.
He's like, she was making eyes at me. We had a real thing.
That's me with Vegas. I'm like, how could this place ever get old?
Yeah. He was like, this place is for me. He actually was talking about how it's not that insane of a commute to LA. And I was like, but it is. And we're parents. Hi.
Yeah.
We can't just move to Vegas.
Yeah, but if we gamble our children and lose, then we're free.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you book comedy shows in Vegas, get in touch with this man because he wants to work there as much as possible.
Yeah, or if you just have a couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not how you do Vegas.
That's not how you do Vegas.
You gotta do the
that's
Rio.
That's how you do Vegas after you've lost the deed to your house.
So that was fun. We did the buffets. And if any of you have a story from Vegas,
or if you have a buffet recommendation, because we love a buffet,
we would love to hear it. So tweet at us, Instagram us, whatever. We want to hear your Vegas stories.
Spot Pod.
Mm-hmm. Well, without further ado, unless you have something you want to talk about,
no.
Our guest, we let the cat out of the bag. We let the cat eyes out of the bag. It's Lisa Loeb. She's fantastic. She does not need an introduction.
She's going to blow your mind.
So enjoy our interview. And she sang a song. We're not going to tell you which one.
Tune in, baby.
And she was amazing. Enjoy. I am nervous because
good way to
we
start.
Have an. I just think honesty is the best policy, and I'm nervous. We have a very special guest today. Lisa Loeb is here. Thank you, Lisa, for coming.
Thank you for having me. I love that. That's a great way to start a podcast. Just like,
We also have a fun, like a. You know what?
I'm going to say.
I am nervous. I can't believe this.
You
I'm never
are
nervous. This is so weird. Okay.
Be a professional, please.
Okay, here we go.
This is embarrassing.
Jesus.
That's Jackie Johnson, everybody.
Yes.
From Natch Butte, a very popular podcast on Starburns. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And I'm nervous, but I think I'm hiding it better than you are.
Yeah,
if I'm
being
honest.
I think so.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming. You came because you heard that we were having Lisa on the show.
And I purposely scheduled my podcast before this so I could catch a glimpse.
That sounds like when I used to be dating. You know, you would accidentally, purposefully, like, oh, I happen to be in New York.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I happen to be jogging past your apartment 10
exactly.
times in a row. Oh.
I didn't know you would be here.
You frequent this apartment too?
Well, we were watching a couple of clips last night and we watched your interview on Tyra. Do you remember that?
Tyra, yes.
How did you feel about that? Were you nervous?
I don't remember the interview, but I remember being on Tyra. I mean, I don't remember what I said.
She gave you dessert. She pulled up a tray full of desserts. She was like, Lisa, I heard you like dessert.
And I probably ate them all because I do like desserts still.
What I loved about it is you totally dove in and were eating and talking at the same time, which is like...
Doesn't surprise me. Somebody probably gave me a note later like, you're not actually supposed to eat on TV. Like when I did a reality show on TV, I think we got notes that we had to sort of pace ourselves with the eating and the talking. So
they're like, we didn't know we'd need to tell you this, but
wow, that's right. Tyra Banks had a talk show.
I
is
know.
She still?
No,
there's
unfortunately.
Lots of talk
I do remember going on RuPaul's show in the 90s,
what?
Late
90s. Do you know about this?
No.
RuPaul had a talk show. It was fabulous with Michelle. Was his sidekick Michelle from from
Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had so much makeup on and so many eyelashes on, like two or three layers of eyelashes and big push-up bra and a fitted skirt, which I would never, ever wear. I would usually wear like an A-line, short-waisted little dress. And I was wearing like heels, like a woman. And I looked like a woman with lots of makeup. And I remember I went on the show and it was me and Jackie Collins, the author. Is she Jackie Collins? Or her sister? Jackie Collins.
No, wait. Jackie Collins is the actress?
One's the actress and one's the writer.
People named Jackie all don't know each other. Okay, I don't know.
One's on like, you know, they like wear classic makeup from the late
70s, early
80s. Jackie's
the writer, yeah.
Oh, Jackie's the writer.
So Jackie Collins was on. And I walked on to talk to RuPaul, and I look like a little boy. Like, I was wearing no makeup. Like, I was just like, whatever, nothing.
It was the most you ever brought it.
Yeah, I was like, I am bringing it, and I am not, I didn't bring it. I just was like, well, okay. And I lost my deer sweater that day. I had the best shirt, long sleeve shirt from the Gap. It was like a fake pajama fabric shirt, you know, with like little, not, it wasn't waffle. I'm looking at you because you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it was cotton. It was soft cotton and had tiny little rose print all over it. Like underwear from the 70s or something, a little girl underwear. But I lost that. And the sweater I had over it was from Japan. It had three big deer faces. I have this skirt that matches and I left it in the dressing room.
Here's a weird question. Do they have deer in Japan?
Honey, they have a whole island.
Them. Yeah, they do, but they have
a
lot
of deer.
They have lots of deer imagery.
Inara. Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
A lot of deer imagery. Cuteness.
Speaking of Japan, I don't want to like steal the thunder, but I just got back from Japan and I brought Lisa a present. I'm sorry I didn't bring you two a present.
Oh my gosh.
Is it a Japanese deer?
I can't even stand it. Japan has the best things.
I know you love Japan, and I know you've had some like albums released early in Japan. You toured Japan.
Everything
I just brought you some candy.
Oh,
and y'all can share.
Look at this beautiful picture. Now this is a podcast, so I'm going to describe.
You can share with them, but I just like
milk.
I don't know. Listen,
Milita.
There's some poke in there. There's some Kit Kats, different flavors.
Oh, yes. It looks like a pink bag made out of lingerie.
Matcha.
Yeah, strawberry, have fun. Share with your kids.
Muji strawberry. Thank
Those
you
are
very
so
much.
Good.
My kids love pineapple. Hello Kitty tropical pineapple marshmallows.
What?
Listen, I just, you were on
the
my mind.
The canned body's already shaking. This is so cute.
You were on my mind. What can
I
say?
You.
I
thank you. Oh my gosh, I love it. Strawberry pokey, I love it. There's those sticks you can just go like a pencil sharpener of your mouth, like really
totally.
Fast. And you eat them really fast.
You, how old are your kids?
They are almost six, my mm-hmm. little boy, and my little girl is about 8.5.
Oh, okay. Great.
Also obsessed with candy.
Yeah.
And all things Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Oh, that's close. Yes.
So we should throw him in a pen and let him fight.
My 3-year-old is obsessed with you.
Oh, really?
If you give a mouse a cook.
Same with my niece.
That's a good show. I'm so excited that I get to be involved in that show. I love those books. Did you guys know the books before the show?
Mm-hmm.
They're cute, right? And you don't mind reading them over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's... Oh my gosh, she loves that show. She would be dying if she could understand who you are. The voice behind that.
Oh, the little... Yeah, we wrote all the songs. My friend Rich Jackson and I wrote the songs that are in the show that the characters sing.
Yeah.
It's so wild. I'm usually either the... I do voiceovers also, so I'm usually the person singing the song somebody else wrote,
mm-hmm.
or writing songs for humans in the real world, for myself usually.
Right.
But to see our songs sung by mice, a mouse, a moose, dog and cat, and pig, it's very cute. And a little boy.
It is very cute.
Oh, that's so cool. It's just on Amazon, though. People have to know.
Yeah. Everybody's got to know. It's the cutest show.
And it's really 12 minutes long, so it's perfect if your kids are like, I want a show. You're like, okay, this is a 12-minute show. It's a perfect amount of time, so you don't feel like your kids are being glued to the screen.
That brings up a question I've always had about musicians, which is when you get hired to do something for a project, like my number one example is David Bowie getting hired to do Labyrinth.
Yes.
Like, does it feel like pressure? Is it like fun? Like what, when you know that you're bringing, they're like, can you do this thing for us that already exists? Do you feel like you got to fit into that? Like, fun as an artist?
It's really fun because, you know, as a person who does entertain many things, you're always coming up with new ideas. You're always coming up with something new. And then you have another idea. And, how am I going to make this happen? And I have got this idea. But when you're hired, work for hire, to do something specific, it's awesome. It's like problem solving. It's like there is an issue that needs to, you know, there is a specific star-shaped hole that needs to be filled, and I'm going to put a star in it. It's really fun to be able to, for me at least, to have a puzzle where they say, we need a song about this. It needs to be this long. This character's going to sing it. This is what we need. It needs to be this style. And then you try something, and then they give you notes, and then you change it, and you give it back. I mean, I'm lucky because the folks I work with on on the Amazon show. And in the past, all the other music supervisors I've worked with, they usually know what they're talking about, and that makes it helpful. When they're, it's a little difficult when you're being directed by somebody who's like, it's just not fast enough, and then you make it faster, and but that's not what they're talking about.
They don't really know like, what they they're asking
yeah,
you
but,
for.
But the folks at Amazon that we've been working with, especially the music supervisor, is a musician herself, and she knows exactly what she's talking about, and it's just really fun. It's like the weight is lifted because the goal isn't to have the whole creative concept and have the whole idea from scratch and to try to make it happen. Mm-hmm. It's just to work with a team to do something. It's awesome.
That's great. So the elephant in the room to me is that Jackie is wearing a Lisa Loeb t-shirt from how old were you when you
it was November 20th, 2001.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I remember
America
that day.
America needed some happiness, I think it's safe to say. It was a low point. I was 16.
Oh my gosh.
My 17th birthday was November 21st, 2001. Oh. And the show, the Lisa Loeb show at the Gypsy Tea Room in Dallas was 17 and up. So I was one day short of being legally allowed to go. I used my sister's ID, which we were not getting along at the time. I don't know how I convinced her. I must have like done her laundry for a month or something, like let me have her ID. I remember they checked my ID and I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. So I got
in. It makes you nervous. Are they going to see? Are they going to see that as fake words?
Well, I used it all through college, if we're being honest, later.
Yeah. But no, I used mine in college. I got stopped in another city because, not because it had fake words on it that they didn't notice, but because one of the lines was printed a little bit underneath where it was supposed to be.
Oh, amateur hour.
I'm telling you.
Anyway, but you had your fake ID.
Mine was a real human, but it wasn't me.
Right.
But anyway, I went to the show and I loved it. It was great. And then, yeah, I bought a shirt and I had you sign it and it says, Happy Birthday, Jackie.
Oh my God.
And then your signature.
Oh,
this
so
is
cool.
authentic.
It's still my signature.
This is authentic. I
remember
didn't fake
my Aunt
this.
Esther, who had very white hair, was in her. If it was 2001, she was probably in her either early 80s, mid. She was sitting on the side of the stage during that show. I was
you remember
so happy
that
to have
show?
My, well,
she's
I remember
from
my aunt
Dallas.
Sitting on the side of the stage.
Oh, right.
There, and also, that's when they painted this huge mural on the side of the Gypsy Tea Room down there, back over there. And is it Deep Ellum, right?
Yeah.
Deep Ellum? Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Do you remember signing that shirt?
I remember. No. But I remember the concept is definitely real.
Yeah, it was a really big time day in my life.
If you showed me a picture, I might remember.
Well,
you might have a picture.
I had one, and it was like a shitty scan. I mean, this was we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have cameras on our phones. So I had like a tiny shitty scan, like crop, bad lighting on my old computer, and I was going to find it. But you know what? I didn't. Let's be honest.
It's okay.
I didn't. So that's fine. But you did have like a boa around your neck.
Probably.
I feel like you were rocking a boa moment.
Maybe a boa, or it was a little scarf.
Yes.
I had a whole thing, because that was right around 9/11.
Yes.
And I remember around that time, it was just a drag to pack bags and to travel a lot.
Yes.
Because people were just, it was really hard to travel at the time. So, because of that, and also because I love Baskin-Robbins and airline uniforms, I had two dresses made. I was working with dressmakers that I liked, these two guys, and I would have clothes made because there were certain shapes I liked, but I wanted better colors and things. So I got this tunic made in like a sort of like the same color you're wearing, maybe a little bit more pink,
like
less dark, less light red and more light pink. That's like a light red. But it was light pink, corduroy dress with a little tie behind it, very short, with two pockets,
cute.
Which
very
pockets
cute.
Are really good.
Pockets are
and
important.
With this little little tie behind my back thing, which I could clip on my in-ear monitor little pack. And I'd wear it with like fishnets and these huge platform shoes that were suede and a little tie around my neck and these white long sleeve shirts with real, it was made out of t-shirt material, but then the cuffs and the collar was like man's shirt material.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little tie around my neck, and it was kind of like a Baskin-Robbins flight attendant. Everything was pink and brown and white.
Which
that's
we should have.
So my alley.
That should be a real thing. We should have Baskin-Robbins flight attendants that only come up there and give you ice cream.
I'd be so happy the whole time.
So let's get into it. What is your soft spot? What is your...
I my soft
you have
spot...
a song or a movie that, like, what is the tenderest part of your heart?
I... You know,
we
there
love
are
you
so
much,
many.
You could even be
I
your
am
own
such a sentimental. Yeah, no. I am such a sentimental person that I have so many memories. It was funny. I was back in Dallas the other day, going through all my stuff from when I was a kid. I had boxed some of it up, and literally there were like drawings of cucumbers. I remember doing in third grade, thinking this is so cool that we get to do observations in science class, and remembering those cucumber drawings. And then I found the cucumber drawings. I found my sticker collection from the 80s. I found, I mean, so many things. And then. And all those things, they just, I get mesmerized and I go into a time warp zone. In fact, I want to create a piece of furniture where I could put all those things so that I could open little drawers, and, like, interact with the things that bring me back to
like
certain times of my life.
Like apothecary cabinets.
Exactly, like with that little weird, like, velveteen ladybug that we used to use in Girl Scouts.
It's like a cabinet of your brain.
That you seriously, you it brings me back. It freaks me out, actually. I think probably the thing that brings me back the most is probably music, though. And especially songs from the early 70s. The one that came to me immediately when you said that was Live and Let Die.
Oh, really?
Actually, because I remember being a little kid and it was such a dangerous song and it would come on the clock radio.
By the least dangerous man in show business.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it was kind of like a really dangerous song. I also like the Aerosmith song. I think of Roller Coasters when I think of that song. It's got a similar dangerous feel to it. But Live and Let Die was just... It takes me back to wandering around a drugstore in like in the mid to early 70s, looking at sparkly red fingernail polish, and well, it just makes me feel so like the world is mysterious. I'm in it. It's a mysterious place.
It's wonderful. The Aerosmith song that is a roller coaster, or Live and Let Die is a
roller
coaster?
Live and Let Die is
the one. It is. It's very roller coaster-esque.
No, Live and Let Die is not. There's an Aerosmith song. What is it called? It's on my Spotify playlist. It's called sort of in the same world of it, but it just reminds me of being a kid and seeing teenagers like, whoa, they're really old. And, you know, seeing
I think
grown
most
up
people
magazines.
Remember the first song you hear and you're like, that's deep and dark.
Yeah.
Like, I'm bad.
Live and Let Die is, you know, when you hear it.
Is
and
it, pretty,
and
I
it
have
is
to
sneaky because it's like, when we were young, and it's like very melodic. And then all of a sudden it's
it
like, live
yeah,
and
you're
let
like, Paul,
die.
What happened to you?
It's like, whoa, what's happening? It's seriously dark. Things can happen.
That was with Wings, right?
In my mind, it's with Wings. But is it the Beatles? But I think it's with
no,
Wings.
No, it's definitely not the Beatles.
And
no.
Wings, they stayed at my friend's house in Dallas, supposedly. And they left them Wings necklaces, kind of like the one you have, like Wings, like on a chain.
I know you love the Beatles, Lisa. I heard you on the Beatles channel. On Sirius, you did a Fab Four. Where you pick four of your favorite Beatles songs.
Oh, yeah.
I heard Lisa on there.
Oh, Dream On.
Oh, Dream On.
Yes.
I love
also,
Dream On.
It's also in that place of something's going to happen and it's not a shark and something's going to happen. You know, it's really scary. And Live and Let Die is Wings.
My dangerous
song. And Kashmir,
song.
Same with Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
I love
yeah,
all those
great.
Songs. I'm like, whoa, what's happening?
Mm-hmm. So you like tension.
Yeah.
And then...
And beauty. It's beautiful and scary.
It's hard and soft, hard and soft.
And it makes me really upset. Like when I was a kid, I was just like, oh, it can make me cry.
Do you guys have a song that like you remember being like, my parents don't realize how deep I am because I love this song and I get it? like your first grown up...
I remember listening to the Cardigans' first Band on the Moon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I get this. I know you don't think I get this, but I get this.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And I still love that album.
Mm-hmm. They are like the most, we talk about this all the time. They are, I think, the most underrated band in forever. People don't take the Cardigans seriously enough, I think. Did you ever listen to them?
I listened to them a little bit. I didn't listen to a lot of the music that was on when my music was getting popular.
I don't blame you.
Right. But the reason, I was just like an alternative person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never listen to pop radio in my life.
Well, they're
like,
from
why
Sweden.
Would I listen
that
to the
counts
radio?
For something.
I know, but it was weird. It was like, I was just out of high school and college where I went to places like the Granada Theater and saw weird movies. And
I loved the Granada.
Like, you know, alternative stuff. Mm-hmm. There was no mainstream things happening in my life on
right.
purpose. And all the way through college, you know, very alternative music or music we thought was alternative because I grew up in Dallas. I didn't grow up in like Los Angeles where
right.
they had the Go-Go's on the radio all the time, which that used to be alternative. Turns out it was like top 20 hits. But it wasn't until after college when I started getting played on the radio a few years after college that I was aware of what else was going on in the pop world, mm-hmm. whether it was music. And then I moved to Los Angeles in the early 2000s, and a lot of people I knew, their pastimes were going to every movie. So you would see like really mainstream movies, which mm-hmm. I never would have seen.
Right.
And now I am a mom and I live in the world. And I go to doctor's offices and I see all that stuff in People magazine. But But yeah, so I didn't really know the music as much. It was more right. like, what are our peers doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. I remember, my parents took us to Disneyland when I was a kid, and we were really broke all the time. And it turned out later to be a loan from my grandparents. They were like, do something fun with the kids. So they took us to Disneyland, and we were driving back, and it's a 6-hour drive back to San Francisco. And I'm in the back seat with my Walkman cassette player tape listening to Appetite for Destruction. And Rocket Queen comes on, which is like, they have sex in the song.
Oh, my God.
And I remember I'm holding Chippendale stuffed animals that I had from Disneyland. And my parents were, like, looking back at us like, oh, look at our sweet kids. And I'm hearing Axl Rose have sex with Slash's girlfriend in my ear. And I was like, I'm an adult now. I was 9.
Like, I am so cool.
Yeah.
That's Chippendale's an interesting choice.
I don't know why I picked them. Maybe because there were two and it was
when
like
I was
my
in
trick
Japan,
to get two.
They love Chippendale.
Oh, really?
I went to Tokyo Disney for 2 days.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How long were you there?
I was there a week. I'm married to a Disney freak, so I have to, like, negotiate theme parks in every trip we go to. And
was it really different from the U.S.?
No, it was very, very similar.
I bet it was very similar. I've been to the Hello Kitty theme park there.
What? Yeah. Oh, I'm glad Adam didn't find that.
Yes,
did you know it was Hello Kitty Day at Dodger Stadium like two days ago?
No.
Yeah.
I would have gone to a baseball game.
Yeah, it was Hello Kitty Day. I don't even know what that means, but someone told me, and I was like,
I bet that was cute.
All the players had to wear Hello Kitty outfits when they played.
That would have been cute.
Oh my gosh. Come on.
That would have been so cute.
So you went to Disneyland for 2 days in Japan. Gosh, I wonder what was different. Probably the portions of food were smaller.
The food was very interesting.
It's all just raw fish.
It's more intimate.
It was very interesting. But it was, their Disney park is the same.
Mm-hmm. Same, right?
But we went to Tokyo Disney Sea, which is, it's sort of like their California Adventure, their second park. It was very cool. It was very different and cool, yeah. Anyway, this isn't a Disney podcast. Or is it?
What's it feel like to have a song that people feel that way, that you feel about Live or Let Die, Live and Let Die?
Oh, I know. It's so meta. It's so bizarre. Mm-hmm. Because I have so many feelings about so many songs. I mean, that's just one song. But I have so many strong feelings. It's funny, when you're a kid, time is sort of stretched out. Mm-hmm. So in a year, you could have, like, you know, 30 really important songs. Mm-hmm. And it actually, being a music fan, it makes me appreciate and not be really angry at, like, having especially one song that people like. Because I know there's certain bands. You know, I was listening to I'll Stop the World and
Modern English,
and I had the album, and that's the song that I really know. Now, I might go back and listen to the album now and say, oh, right, I used to listen to this whole album a lot, because it was harder to change music quickly when I was a kid. I would actually listen to vinyl, and you would listen to the whole record happen, and then you'd flip it over, or maybe you'd put it on repeat, which meant listening to one side over and over. But there's definitely certain bands, or like Thomas Dolby, there's this record called The Flat Earth, which is a beautiful album. But I don't listen
to
any of
it. Wait, he was a flat earther?
Definitely
he was
not
such
Thomas Dolby.
He was a man of science.
Not
I can't believe
guy,
it. He was,
yeah.
Okay.
Not that guy. But that one album, I loved it, but I would never think of listening to his other albums.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would I listen to his other albums? I like that one. There are other bands like The Police that I know every single song of every single album, or David Bowie, I'm really obsessed with, and I know he's got millions of records.
Meg's got a David Bowie tat
right there.
She ran and got it when he passed,
away, yeah.
You loved Bowie so much. But you know, like, even David Bowie, somebody might just know, you know, Ziggy Stardust, some, like, one song from Ziggy Stardust.
Or even worse, I wore a David Bowie shirt to the airport, and this lady goes, hey, that's my favorite actor.
Well, he was an actor.
He was, but I don't think that's what she meant.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence. Yeah, she probably thought it was, like, she probably didn't see Merry Christmas,
she
Mr.
probably
Lawrence.
Thought it was David Hasselhoff.
They look so much alike.
Yeah.
Like that.
Same body type.
It's very similar.
Yeah, like, on one hand, and also I've seen other musicians, I think, go through having certain songs, albums.
Well, you can't control it.
Or
it just
eras
happens.
That were people's favorite, and they get sort of pegged for that.
Yeah.
And the musicians are so angry. They're like, I'm not playing that song.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that that's the best way to go through life.
No.
I think it's fun to appreciate it. And I get so many great stories from people telling me
when
about
you hear it, does it feel like somebody else's song? Like when you hear
it
on the radio?
Yeah, it almost feels like it's outside of myself. I'm like, wow, that is cool. Like, oh yeah. You know, I identify with them. And in my head, I can think about all these other songs. Like, oh my God, I remember when I first heard such and such a song. And maybe it's even a serious song that means, you know, Stay. The song Stay is pretty serious sounding. But people have fun, like, singing it at karaoke, or all their brothers
and
used to dress
Lisa,
up as
it might be their go-to
Meg,
song.
That is Meg's go-to karaoke song.
Or like, oh, I dressed up as you for Halloween, which is great.
Yeah.
And I understand you can have all these different kind of relationships. So for me, I probably earlier on in my life, I might have been like, but I have other songs, which I do. I have like tons and tons of other songs, but I also still appreciate, and some people like them and know them, but I still appreciate if somebody has then a relationship with one song, or even like the dress I was wearing in the video or whatever. Mm. I understand, like, it's just a fact, you know. Yeah. It just happens. That's great. I'm lucky that anybody has any relationship.
We were talking
with
about how great that dress was last night.
It was great.
It was a great dress.
It was dark green, actually, not black.
Oh. What?
It was faux suede, and it was a Betsy Johnson dress, and she herself actually hemmed it for me. We made it really, really short.
And, yeah, you did.
I remember her daughter, they were doing cartwheels. No, it was, and we wore these super dark leggings and John Fluvog shoes. I was going through my storage the other day because I'm putting something in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and so we're looking for that dress. I think we gave it back to Betsy Johnson. I have a bunch of other outfits from videos and mm-hmm. shoes and stuff, but I think that dress we gave back, I think it might have been a sample, and we gave it back to her.
Well, we gotta get Betsy on the line.
I know.
Somebody call Betsy.
Get her on the horn, Land.
Get Malibu on the phone.
If anybody knows Betsy Johnson, it's our producer, Land.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he knows her. I guarantee you he does.
You were mentioning that you only wore dresses like that.
Yeah, because everyone was obsessed with Lisa.
It's also easy. You like put on your leggings, you put on your dress, and you're dressed.
It's like crazy, though. Aside from your music, you had such a look that everybody wanted your look.
That's awesome.
I mean, you were like the coolest of the cool. You still are. Yes. You look the exact same.
Like, I was in a box in my storage. Yeah.
We've been listening to a lot of your songs, but it's so crazy how with Stay, no matter how many times you listen to it, it's still makes you happy and
so
still
good.
Like, yeah, and it's not a happy song, but
I know
it fills,
you mean,
it fills your
like
heart
live
with
and
joy.
Let die, it makes you really like, oh, joy. It's very depressing.
People have probably asked you this question before a million times, but is that about a particular dude, or was that like a general?
I mean, it started out as the guy I was dating, who I'm still good friends with, and my husband's friends with, but we made records together. It was my producer we were dating, mm-hmm. and I usually, because I listened to bands like, you know, the Beatles and the Cure and David Bowie, my songs were more abstract. Mm-hmm. But with that, I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to write about, I'm angry, we're having an argument. And so I started writing it like that. It did end up becoming about a bunch of different things. And then I was crafting it. So it became, you know, it wasn't exactly, but I think the initial feelings were that kind of frustration and looking at things from a lot of different angles, which I like to do in my
songs.
Is
it a breakup song or what?
No, it was an argument song.
Oh, okay.
But even then, that, you know, when you're in your early 20s and you're having a relationship and, oh, maybe we're going to break up, mm-hmm. but maybe we're not. Do mm-hmm. they still like me? I don't know. Like all those different feelings. So it was coming through in the song. And I think I'm always trying to figure out, like, why did that song, why does it have such a connection, you know, so I can copy it and make new ones that people will like and connect with.
Jackie, what's your favorite Lisa song?
That's a very loaded question. I was thinking about this. It's hard to say because I have, I'd say, five that are really important to me. I think if I had to pick one, it would be Sandalwood.
Oh, yeah.
And then Falling in Love would probably be second. And then How.
Oh,
and Fools Like Me. But they're all for reasons. They're all for mm-hmm. reasons.
Interesting. Why?
What's Sandalwood about?
Well, so I listen, you're my soft spot. So I discovered your music in high school, and it was post-Stay, you know?
Right.
Stay is fantastic, mm-hmm. but there's so much more. Her song, there, she has songs that are better than Stay.
Oh, I'm
and
sure.
it's one of those things
no
where.
No offense to Stay. Yeah.
No, but for me, yeah, like Lisa Loeb is a quintessential, you know, 90s singer songwriter. And she's just as high, she has a high of regard as like a Jewel, mm-hmm. as Morissette. Like, to me, she's that important. And I add you to the conversation every time this comes up in my friend circles because. Just her albums speak for themselves. They're fantastic. But, anyway, I really got into Firecracker, and then I really got into Cake and Pie. And those two together are hard to even say which is better or mm-hmm. which I like more. I think I listen to Cake and Pie more, and as I've gotten older, it's held up more personally for some reason. But when I was in my early 20s, I met this guy, and I was like in love with him, and he's one of my great loves, and he loved Lisa Loeb. So it was like, for the first time, I found somebody who, like, besides like my friends, mm-hmm. like a lover who liked Lisa Loeb, and his favorite song was Fools Like Me.
Oh.
And How. And Alone, that was his other one.
Oh, I love playing
But
Alone.
I always wanted to, like, make out to Lisa Loeb music, but nobody would, you know? And so when we got together, it was literally, like, it was, like, a beautiful moment of just, like, my love. Like,
it was like you had a doll that you could make
That's
it do whatever
what
you wanted.
But, like, it didn't work out between us. I haven't talked to him in, like, a decade, whatever. He's fine, I'm fine, we're both married, it all worked out. But it's just, like... His ringtone was "Bring Me Up" when he'd call me.
Oh my
like,
gosh, that's a good little guitar lick.
Yes. Oh my god, I love all of them.
I love Cake and Pie. You know,
I
it's funny
it.
The song "How" and "Sandalwood."
Yeah.
Maybe "Falling in Love." Even I feel like I know for sure with "Sandalwood" and "How." I played and sang the song at the same time, and it's got this really intimate, immediate quality. And on "Sandalwood," there's a guitar part that's very beautiful that my friend Jesse Harris played. It's like bing bing bing. The way it sort of weaves in with my guitar playing, it's really really cool. And Jesse ended up writing a bunch of songs for Norah Jones, those really huge hits.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Jesse still makes music a lot. He does sort of more jazz, but he played like a classical guitar. And then the song "How," I wrote that specifically for the movie Twister, from the point of view of Helen Hunt's character, like trying to balance her life and her career, and like, why is everybody asking me these questions when it's so obvious, like that kind of thing. It ended up being used also in Jack Frost, the movie about somebody like a man who's a snowman or something.
Michael Keaton.
And it's been used a lot of times, but I think it's because it has that immediate feeling of playing and singing.
It's just so
at the
tender.
Same time, it's very intimate, and you're like right there. It's funny, my newest record I made called Lullaby Girl, because of those songs and a couple of other ones where I'm actually singing and playing, we recorded almost the entire album, like singing and playing with the entire band, and you feel like you're right there. It's the weirdest thing. It's different from layering on all the different layers of vocals and guitars and everything.
Some of my favorite recordings I have heard that story that's how they recorded it. But they just did it live in the studio, and they just did it a bunch of times until they got the right one. But, they're all playing together.
And things can be a little out of line, not exactly perfect, but I think your ears actually... I think we respond in a more emotional way to that.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, a lot of the music that's being created now, they auto-tune it either a lot or a little.
I don't even want to talk
about it. Everything's perfect.
Yeah.
But sometimes that also has like a, like you drank too much coffee kind of like a,
absolutely.
This is really satisfying.
It is.
Everything's
like
in the lines.
Drinking too much coffee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is that feeling.
David Bowie's favorite album was Grace by Jeff Buckley for a while.
Oh, that was a gorgeous record.
That album was recorded live.
That was his thing and his voice and it was
so beautiful.
Did you
ever meet him?
I don't think I did. It's weird because we were in the same circles.
Yeah.
Like we played a lot of the same places. Although he played at this place called Chenet a lot, and I was playing more at CBGB's Gallery. So we crossed paths a lot.
There wasn't like a softball team league that you guys were
in? Yeah. I'm surprised we didn't see each other like eating in the East Village. We literally were in the same exact circles, like Ani DiFranco and Jeff Buckley and my friend Jesse. And there were so many bands and musicians there.
I remember Ani DiFranco was always if I met a girl and she loved Ani DiFranco, I was like, well, I'm going to lose every fight.
it's like very much like, I'm strong.
Yeah.
Strong woman.
So what is Alone? Because you said you love
Alone
to play it loud.
Alone is more, it's really fun. It's just.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
It's a rock song.
Yeah. I like when you go hard.
Me too.
I want to see you just like Joan Jett it out one
I did.
Day.
I actually, on my record I made called No Fairy Tale, I made a record, it's my last grown-up record that I've really made about 5 years ago, is a record called No Fairy Tale. And I made it with my friend Chad Gilbert from the band Newfound Glory. And that's like a punky poppy rock band.
Yeah, baby.
And so he brought in Tegan and Sarah and we did two songs of theirs and Tegan came and sang on it. And it was all like way more rock. I will say I have songs that rock on other albums, but people don't think of that. They think of me with an acoustic guitar. But we really, really got the energy in that rock place. And if you listen to that record, you can hear all those songs.
I'm surprised Alone is a rocker because I just picture a song called Alone being like very...
Well, it's not like hard, but I'd say for...
It actually really is.
Yeah.
The choruses are like...
It's so good.
I was influenced by like Fugazi and... Led Zeppelin.
Meg loves Fugazi.
I do love
Fugazi. So, it's a harder rock band.
But it's so funny.
With a lot of stops, really immediate stops and stuff. Yeah.
I'm 38, and it's funny that I'm like, hey, I really like this Fugazi band. It's like way too late for me.
You're a little late.
You can always find a band.
That's true.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite band growing up? Was it the Beatles?
No, it was The Police, Led Zeppelin.
Would you freak out if you met Sting? Have you ever met Sting?
I've met Sting a couple times.
Did you freak out?
I did not freak out.
Did he freak out?
He didn't freak out. He was just like, I don't want
it. He was cool.
The reason I was nervous, you know who I also loved, who was so lovely and wonderful, was Elton John. I was a huge Elton John fan growing up. I still am. I saw him in like 1978.
I hear he's such a bitch in person.
Oh no, he's so nice. But when I met him, he was like, oh my gosh, it's so nice to meet you. Yeah. He was like so generous and nice. I've gone to see him at shows. He has me backstage. We look around at his wardrobe. We talk, and he's just very sweet and generous and like kind. And it's so cool. With Sting, he was kind of like, I met him at the same event I met Elton John actually initially. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so nice to meet you. And I was like on the top of the charts at the time. He just kind of looked through me. It was like I wasn't even
really?
There. I was so embarrassed.
Oh my God.
I turned to his wife and I said, that's a lovely dress. I'm like, how did I use that even word?
Coming out of,
I don't even use these words.
I'm a 70-year-old grandma.
I was just like trying to swallow my pride and be like, okay, that just happened.
It was like
a dream come true to meet the Police. That being said, I met Stuart Copeland and Andy Summers, who are the other two guys in the Police. I met them on this big trip I did to Cuba with a bunch of other musicians, including the Indigo Girls and Bonnie Raitt and Mick Fleetwood and just all these musicians, like tons of us.
This was one cruise?
It was a airline flight, and we all went together to Cuba and wrote with Cuban musicians. I wrote with Burt Bacharach. It was crazy.
Wow.
But anyway, the Police were there, and I got to stand in line with Andy Summers going to get coffee at the airport. Like, he's my new pal.
Was he nicer?
Super nice. And so was Stuart Copeland. Like, we argued about politics in the Middle East and the Bible.
One time I saw Lisa Loeb at the Grove and I didn't say anything to you.
Oh, was I with my kids?
I saw you on a train in New York. I think it was before you had kids.
Okay.
I think it was 2006.
Always say hello. That's the thing. Like, I say hello.
Hello.
I remember when I was in New York City once right after college and I was like, oh my God, there's a guy there. He's holding an envelope that says Kiss, and it's in the Kiss font, the band font, Kiss. And we were huge fans of Kiss growing up. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I have to say something to him. And then I looked at his face. I'm like, that's one of the guys from Kiss. That's Paul Stanley.
Oh, wow.
But with no makeup. And so I just had to go up to him and talk to him.
I bet that was his makeup.
And
bag.
I said to him, I was like, it was a brown paper. I think it was a contract. It was like a brown paper envelope. And I was like, oh my God,
cash.
I don't even have, I think I might have even said to him, oh my God, I don't have a pen and paper. Do you mind if I like go to a deli and like, I did that
Lisa.
Whole thing. But he was super nice. And then I met him again years later and I told him and he said he remembered. I don't know, but he played along, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm friendly with him now.
Of
and
course
he's like,
he remembered. He's
he
like,
always
the ball's
remembers.
On you.
No, but he's so sweet. That was so nice. And even now, he's very gracious. And when I see him, he's always like, yeah, I remember when you stopped me in New York and blah, blah, blah.
Aww.
But, you know, I don't know if that's true, but like, I appreciate, I'm a fan as well. Mm-hmm. If I see somebody, if you see me at the Grove, unless I look like I'm in the middle of like a really big argument or something, come over and be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And
does that ever happen? Do people come up to you? I feel like sometimes people just are so rude. They come up
to
you at the worst times.
I think once or twice people have, and I said, I'm so sorry, but I'm in the middle of a serious conversation. Excuse me.
Yeah.
But most of the time I'm like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
So nice to meet you.
Do they ever just pull their phone out and go, start singing it?
Oh, they do actually.
No, they don't.
They're like, they're like,
if
oh,
you give a mouse a cookie, I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
It happens sometimes. They're like, or they do something where they're like, oh, you're that girl.
Oh,
sing me that song.
Oh,
you know
God.
The one. I'm like, every once in a while, I realize it's easier just to like sort of sing part of it and be like, this is a fun moment and move along.
It's always fun when people make you tell them how they know you.
I know.
It's like the worst.
What I prefer is somebody to say, like, if I saw you on the street, be like, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I met you at such-and-such.
Yeah.
Even relatives should do that to each other at parties. Hi, I'm your Aunt Lisa, and I haven't seen you since your fifth birthday. You know, not
right.
like,
you
Give don't
you know
who
context.
I am.
Yeah. Give you some context.
Be nice. Like, say your name. Say where you last seen them and how great it is to see you again.
But I don't know how those people have that endless. I mean, people that famous, like for years
well,
and years and years.
It's a muscle, and they've grown up having to do it, and it's all part of. I never take selfies or ask for photos because I don't know if it's just pride or I don't want to be weird. I don't.
It's not.
I don't want to put someone out. Like I'm like you are just living your life, and I'm just. Passing you
but
by.
But don't think I'm getting out of here without a picture, Lisa. Don't think.
We have the lighting
set up.
Yeah, I brought a selfie light.
I feel like when I'm in situations, like I was the other night, I was doing a friend's podcast, Stephen Glickman. It was his 100th podcast, and he had on a couple of the actors from The Office, and I know them, and they also do social media, and they all, you know, you just know when you see someone backstage, you're like, oh, hey, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Oh, let's take a picture. Like, it's just, it doesn't demean any friendship that's developing or the fact that we're huge fans of each other. It's just, you just do it. It's just like fun and you do it and you try to make it look good.
If you're famous and it's like famous people love taking pictures of each other.
Well, but it can be, my husband's always like, oh my God, you asked for a picture way too soon in that conversation. So embarrassing.
But you're famous. No, I feel like it's different.
I remember, there's just certain situations I'm like, oh God, I did ask for it too quickly. But I was like, this conversation's not going to last very long. And what'll be important is the picture because
the picture will last.
Yeah. But I think again, when you're on that level, it's nothing to them. I rarely ask for photos, only when it's somebody really, really important to me. But I was at an event the other day with my friend and Mario Lopez was the host. And he was literally just going, who else? And I was like, me, I want a picture with Mario Lopez. I mean,
if you're handing him out.
Yes. AC Slater, okay, honey. Yeah.
But he's like sweet and he's smiling. Yes. He's a TV host.
And he looks
like
fantastic.
In the media,
and
he's like, great.
You're like, I brought this chair. Can you sit backwards in it? So I can. Oh my
God. And I posted on Facebook and everybody flipped out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, everybody won.
So you did bring your guitar, Jackie.
Oh, right. I forgot. I brought my guitar. Oh.
Yeah. Do you feel like playing
something? I can play a song, yes. I'm
Jackie,
checking one thing really
I feel like.
Here.
Well, I don't want to pimp her out. I want her to play what she wants to play. Well,
there you go.
Okay.
Would you
want to
play
whatever.
Something? Oh, great.
I mean, if
I
she.
Mean, not whatever.
Is whatever a song.
Early, everything. Right? Sandalwood's kind of high. Oh, my God. You didn't play it at the tea room.
I didn't.
I don't think so.
You're going to complete her birthday.
She did do Falling in Love. You did play Falling in Love.
You play Falling in Love.
Yeah. You play with it. I don't want to pimp her out.
No,
okay?
No.
I'm happy to hear anything.
Me too.
I was trying to figure out. I'm not on the mic.
Oh, my God. I'm going to die right now.
I need to stand.
Can I just, while you're adjusting, I just want to say as a fan, I just want to say thank you for all the joy. Thank you for all the joy you brought my life. It's been, decades of joy, of pain, feeling it, listening, being a part of my life. And that's something you don't get to say to artists.
No.
And passersby at the deli. So Lisa, just thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing
your
art with us. And it's really like a diary entry. And I think that's why your music has resonated with me, because I was a teen and I was awkward and I was growing up and I was learning about my femininity, my sexuality, my relationship. And your words of your music and the melodies just really, I felt them with
I'm
you.
So glad.
And so thank you for that.
Thank you.
And I'm
going to
die.
Ah! Okay.
Tell me that all of the love songs have been written. She's never been in love with you before. Your skin smells lovely like sandalwood, and your hair falls soft like trying to keep cool, but everyone likes you. Well, I want to kiss the back of your neck, the top of your spine, where your hair hits, and on your fingertips and fall asleep. She can't tell me that all of the love's
I mean,
I'm dead. You sound that was amazing.
Eat your heart out, Stay.
I know.
Eat your heart out, Stay. Okay, that's a damn hit.
Jack, you're gonna have to take us out. I'm gonna cry. So you gotta.
I mean, everyone at home, make out with somebody.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
I'm literally about to cry.
How sexy is that song?
Even your cat.
I was hoping
make out with your cat to that song.
I was like, I hope this song's 12 minutes long.
It was a short one, which again I thought would be good because I don't want to put her out. You know?
I appreciate that.
That was amazing.
That was amazing.
How gorgeous is that song?
Thank you.
How perfect is your voice?
I'm telling you.
We were just talking and hanging out, and then all of that, I'm like.
She's a professional, damn it.
She is.
I beatbox. Should I go next?
No.
No, thanks. No, thanks.
That was wonderful, Lisa.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. That was
thank
wonderful.
Thank you. It's so much fun
that
to talk to you.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank
we you. Are just huge fans, and this was so wonderful. And and it makes me, I'm just excited. I'm
congratulations
sorry. I'm shaking.
On your
what
Grammy.
A treat for everyone listening.
I know.
Like, oh, yeah, my God.
For Paquito Moss. I just don't know what to say.
Well, thank you so much. And hopefully, you know, we'll see you around in public and we'll definitely say hi.
And I will
okay.
definitely
yeah,
say hi.
Yeah, always come say hi.
Thank
like,
you.
Don't be weird. Just say hi. Don't go like, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. Hey, I know you. Yeah. What? Yeah. Hey, you're that girl, huh?
I don't what like you, what you, do but you my wife does.
Lobe dog.
I'm all taking right. that. I'm calling her Lobe dog.
That's okay. hilarious.
All right.
That's okay. it. Thank you so much.
Thank all you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Sure. Let's say Seinfeld was on an island and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld? I'd love having you